you're so good, so, so good. Come and change the atmosphere, moving through our praises, through our worship. We want to worship you for who you are, Lord God. Our hearts are fixed on you today as we focus our eyes, the intentionality of our hearts on you and you alone. Not what happened yesterday, not how we're feeling about the day, not what's reigning in our circumstances, we think, but on you, because you are worthy. You're worthy to receive all honor, all glory, all praise, all dominion. You love to dance with us, to sing with us, to move with us. And our sole desire, Lord, is to connect with you and just that connection to be strengthened. That just whatever is happening in heaven would happen on earth. As the veil has been rent and torn, Lord, we know that this is a new day where that glory realm becomes ever more real and present. Jesus. And we're stepping into something new, something maybe somewhat foreign, Lord, but we know that you make all things new and you desire to show up in ways that we don't even understand, that make no sense to the natural mind, because you're so desirous to enter into our body, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and just take us over and consume us with your holy love and fiery presence. You're all we need. You're all that matters. You're the nevertheless. You're the nevertheless. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh. Continue to worship. Just want Anne to come up and join me if you would. Thank you, Lord. Just want to share something with you that we shared together in part on Friday night as we were worshiping the Lord through the watch of the Lord, our all-night prayer and worship gathering. And as just we continue to maintain an attitude and heart position of praise and worship before the Lord, just really believe he wants to continue to shift us so that our focus remains strong and grows stronger. Oh, in the realm of your glory, Lord. We experienced a great outpouring on Friday night from 10 to 6. Many people showed up. We culminated a time of fasting and prayer through the Global Bridegroom Fast last Tuesday night or Wednesday morning through Saturday morning with All Night Watch of the Lord. It was highly significant, I believe, for what the Lord's wanting to do and to say and to speak in this hour. Anytime we show up with the Lord and he shows up, it's very significant. But there was a shift, there was a turn. There was something we've been yearning for. And that yearning, that burning, has been growing stronger and stronger. So many things happened that night, but one that really I felt the Lord impressed upon my heart right now to share briefly is that as we were praying for some people in a former meeting, not that night, there was a great release of power. Where the enemy had to flee. And those who were sick experienced a change. And there was a delivering power that was unleashed and released over this body and over them. And they received something very extraordinary in their bodies. They were very sick and they responded. Their bodies responded to what the Lord was wanting to do. And Anne saw something in the spirit as there was prayer up here. That just really is worth glorifying the Lord for. It, whenever God shows up and we see in the Spirit and we see what He's doing, we ask Him, should we share that with all? And I believe right now there's just something that God wants to do, Jesus wants to do, our Lord wants to do, to be able to help us stand in a place of exalting Him and focusing on Him as we began our worship this morning and just sang His praises and just said, Lord, the atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is moving and the light invades the darkness and You are the light. So as the darkness was commanded to flee in the area of sickness and in the area of disease in the body, Jesus was ever present. Jesus was around. Jesus was here. Jesus is still here by His Spirit. And times He'll open up our hearts and our eyes to be able to have glimpses of His glory, who is Him, to be able to see where He is, what He's doing, where He's positioning Himself. Sometimes He, as I said, He dances with us, sings with us, plays with us. The Father throws us up in the air. The Lord is saying, I'm near, I'm present, I'm right where you are. My eyes are fixed on you. And the Lord spoke something to Anne that she did share Friday night. So many times we feel overwhelmed by the darkness around us, by our circumstances. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't take anymore. This is so hard. And He's resting in the bottom of the boat. And He's not bothered, but He ever cares. And He's so consumed with passion and so consumed with heartfelt desire for us to be set free, for us to experience His anointed yoke of love. A yoke is something that can strangle and hold and hinder and restrict. In His anointed yoke of love, I want Him to hold me and restrict me in a sense where my real freedom is in Him. That, Lord, I'm so bound by You and bound by Your love that I become a love slave, a love captive in the greatest sense. And when the darkness is around me and the darkness comes towards me, it realizes, oh, she's one of them. She's a follower of Him. Rats, ho! That's His heart. That's His desire. He's so faithful. He's so desiring to want to capture us. And when we form our own agendas and say, I'm going to do this because it feels right. I'm going to do that because I want to. It makes perfect sense to my mind. Of course, this is love. And He's standing right there and He says, Beloved, I want to open your eyes to see the greater love. Because when you see the greater love, there's a cost and there's a price. And any binding feeling that would come from that wouldn't be from Him. It would be from the very One who says, oh, don't listen to that. Don't move that way. Don't move that direction. You know you're deserving. You know what's really important, what matters. And Jesus says, oh, I want to so expand you to see way beyond yourself and your circumstances. Oh, Anne, if you could just share what you saw.
Last Tuesday night, when we were having a time of healing, and there was the weight of the power of healing present here in this sanctuary. A precious child of God came forward for help with a dire diagnosis. And as he came forward and hands were laid on him, within I heard, join, but do not put your hands on him and watch. Extend your hands in the atmosphere and watch and take in. And I did. Then God asked me to return to my seat. And as this dear child of God was being ministered to and hands laid on and prayed over, and I'm standing there joining in prayer, saying, you know, oh, sickness, leave, leave. I saw this mass like an oil slick of black depart from this precious person. And I looked and I knew, because I've seen it before. I said, ah, this is the enemy. And within I heard speak to it. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. Leave this child, leave this building, and go straight to the feet of Jesus. And out the door it went. But it returned. It came in the other door. I was a little ticked. And in the spirit, I stood between this dear child and the blackness in the spirit. I said, no. I said, in the name of Jesus, of the authority he gives me, leave. And we left. The same thing happened three times. And finally, on the third time, Jesus took him at the door and removed him. Now, I was a little bothered by all this because I thought maybe I had made a mistake, and I took it to God and I said, why the first time that I said leave in the name of Jesus Christ and the authority he gives me and do not return here? Why the return? And within, I just heard Father God laugh. And he said, because the demon was going to Jesus, he was here with all of you. Don't you remember? And I said, oh, yes, I do. I do, because I had seen, as we were singing, Rend the Heavens, and I cannot get that song out of my head. It's become my theme song. Rend the Heavens. And I saw the heavens open, and I saw Jesus step down. He was here in the sanctuary with us, and he just began to dance with us to the praises we were lifting to him. It was really neat. And something I didn't share on Friday night because I forgot, and it was brought back to my memory. As he was dancing, he walked the aisles and laid a covering of blessing over this body, individually and corporately as a group. And then he told me, your praises are going straight from my ear to the heart of the Father, straight from here to his heart. And he was so full of joy and delight. And he took the demon. And that was it.
Praise the Lord. Lord, for eyes that see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your eyes, Lord. I was asking the Lord for the right time to share this, and I now believe he wants me to release what I saw. When I left here on Saturday morning, after an amazing time with the Lord, I was turning left out of the parking lot, and I was on Wales Avenue here. And I looked up in the sky, and my eyes were caught. There was an attention quickly to the left. And I looked up in the sky as I was coming down Wales Road, and there was a cloud-like structure. First I looked and I thought, it's a line. That's very strange. There weren't too many clouds in the sky. But this was angled like a bow. And I thought, Lord, could there be a white rainbow, a real wide white rainbow? Because it wasn't an arc completely, but it started to come up and turn and then taper off. But it was solid. Solid as a cloud, like what seemingly was a cloud-like thing could be. But then I saw another cloud-like picture, and it was real. This was not this was in the sky that I saw. It was a sign and a wonder. And there was a cloud-like or a white line that was fairly thick, drawn across just where you would hold a sword, the crossbow or cross, whatever you call when you hold a sword. So it was straight, but then it started to angle off, and it looked just like a sword. And I just saw a picture in my mind, in my heart then. I believe it was the Lord saying, I am here, and where you are has made a difference. I am here, and where you are has made a difference. And the shield with the cross is our part of our sign for front lines since we've had from the very beginning, indicating, Lord, we're willing to step out and battle for you with the shield of faith and the love of your heart. And we're willing, Lord God, to do whatever it takes, go as high as you want us to take us. As you want to take us. But that's what I thought when I saw it. It was very clear. I said, Lord, is this a sword? And he said, yes. And it was huge. It wasn't little. It wasn't something like I'm trying to make it out. It was massive, and I thought everybody in the world must be seeing this. And I didn't have my camera. It's like, oh, I don't want to travel anymore without one. And as I continued to look, right where the cross part was on this sword was a bird. And I wasn't sure if it was an eagle or if it was actually behind it, an eagle or a dove. And it was forming, it was already there, but my eyes just caught attention. And it was very defined with its wings, its mouth, and its body. And it was shooting up to the side. And I was just undone. I stopped the car in the middle of the road and just sat there. It wasn't a lot of traffic at that time. And I sat there in the morning on Wales Road and just gazed. And to the right of this sword, I saw, and this really wrecked me, I saw a ladder, and it was defined. I saw the sides of the ladder, and I saw the rungs. And there were some rungs in the middle that were a little hazed over by the cloud. But then right as you're looking at the cloud around it, they would come back up, a stairway to heaven, ascending to the Lord's throne. I didn't know what to do. I started calling some people who were probably home trying to get some sleep by then. And I said, well, I've got to get a picture of this. Lord, let me never forget that. And just as I had seen enough, I was just staring at that. I looked down to the left of the sword, and I saw a very defined eye. And the sword was huge, but it was small, but very defined. And I saw the pupil, I saw the eye, it was a perfect shape of an eye with green and orange in the eye. And the Lord spoke to me and said, my eye is on you, caught my attention. And you're moving in conjunction with my heart, and things are happening and changing. And many times we've spoken about the eye of the Lord roaming to and fro, looking for those whose hearts are completely His. And to those He will show Himself very strong and do great exploits. And the Lord has been speaking to us and saying, I'm with you. I'm here. I'm ever present. I'm near. And what has happened today, He was speaking to me, is very significant. And as I called my pastor friend who was here for the watch, and I was telling her about it, and I was sharing. She was still awake. And she said, You have been sent to change the atmosphere over this area, over this region. And the Lord is showing up saying, I'm here. You may think you are small, but this is a season where you are being used in a mighty way to cut through the darkness. And whatever hindrances have been there are being removed and are gone now. And that the very punch in the spirit that's needed to release the greater glory, the greater grace, the Lord says, yes, keep on pressing in. I'm showing up and I see. And for those of you who are carrying any burdens about your children or about yourself or your own life and wondering, is there more than this? Shouldn't I feel something different? Shouldn't there be a release over my life? What do I do with this sickness? Where do I go with these feelings? How do I step into more of Him? The Lord is saying, my realm is the realm of glory. My realm is the realm of grace. And don't just look at the enemy and say, wow, this is getting tough. I feel like things are coming against me. Of course they are. We're bridal warriors. But the Lord says, the closer you get to me, the closer you get to my fire, you will see my eye. You will know my love. My heart over you will be so strengthened. And you'll be able to see what needs to be done next. You will not act in the natural. You will respond in the supernatural. You will have my heavenly wisdom, and you will know my heartbeat for the moment. You will be able to rest in the true fact that I am King and you are my love slave by choice. Oh. This is a season, beloved, where the Lord is so seriously grabbing our hearts, and He's saying, please don't miss this moment. Please don't miss this hour. Please don't miss this season. And it's an urgent plea of love. It's an urgent plea. And those things that are spoken over the very ones we love the most, that don't resonate in your heart. And the Lord says, don't receive them. Don't listen to the lies. Because the lies are meant to hurt, and the truth will set you free. The knowledge of the truth. You, sweetie. This is a time of stepping into that which is released. When I saw that in the sky, I was wrecked. Totally undone. It's like, Lord, I want everybody I know to see what I saw. I want everybody around me to feel what I felt. And he says, just love me. Just love me and press in. And when you say to people and when you say to yourself, oh, there's a cost to pay, there's a price to pay, and you're willing to count the cost, then just let it go and walk in it and count that cost and say yes. Yes, the cost may be to my feelings, our emotions, and our traditions. What we think is the best for us at the moment may be very fine and make us feel good because our focus is on love, we think. But Lord says, focus on me, I'm love. He will teach us what love is all about. He will say, focus where I am. Where I am, that's where the Father is. Where I am, that's where my heart is. Where I am, the Spirit is moving. Joe. Wow. We saw a little video clip the other night, last Friday night, it was very short, but it was of Doug Addison, and he was speaking about acceleration. And he was speaking about that this is a season where the Lord is taking us and moving us quickly if we want to be. If we feel depressed and we want to get out of it, he'll move us out of it quickly. If we really don't want to be out of it, we say, I just don't know what to do. That's where we'll stay. Doug didn't say that. I'm adding that. Because the enemy will do anything to keep us out of the fire. And we will recognize that voice as we get closer to the fire. It's kind of a paradox. Like, what? We recognize that voice. Without getting closer to the fire, we call that voice, this is too much ministry. There's too much time. That's not the heart of the Lord. The Lord is saying, I want you to see me, my heart. My heart. Hey. Thank you, Lord, for the shift right now. The shift of love as we continue to worship. As we continue to see where you want to take this, Lord. As we continue to agree with heaven, agree with you. Because I believe the Lord's going to bring a changing of heart and mind right now to some. You know what's going on in your world. I don't. The Lord says, I'm going to change if you want to. Just step in and say, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to let it down. And I'm willing to agree with heaven, not with someone who's sitting near me. It may not be heaven. It may be what feels right. But it may not be heaven. The Lord says, agree with heaven, agree with me, and I will turn. I will turn things around ever so quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's something that's been plaguing you that you feel has been getting in the way, you know, coming up and getting a touch, and getting a bam on the floor, whatever, that's always fun and nice, and we love it because God shows up. I'm all about that. But isn't it so beautiful to hear that Jesus just shows up in our midst, and he's here, and he's coming down from heaven, and he's stepping down, and he's saying, this is just peanuts. This is nothing. This is just a little drop. This is just, there's so much more. The river is flowing. Oh, and there's a tsunami of love that's being released. If you grab it corporately, I'm going to blow the doors and the ceiling and the roof off this place. But first grab it individually, and it will become a corporate love fest. Wow. We had a big family gathering at my house yesterday. My sister in town from California, my parents at wedding, 60th wedding anniversary. It's a big to-do, and I said, Lord, wow, you're God. How? He just whispered to me during the fast, Friday night, about 5:30, said, it'll all work, it always does. Just keep your eyes on me. So I was out yesterday morning at 11:30, driving, doing some things, and smiling, going, I just saw you in the sky. I just saw you in the sky. I just saw you in the sky. Whoa! Hey! It's amazing what that does. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're already here. You're in this place. Your glory is here already, Lord. Want to partner in the shift. That's what I'm hearing from him. Whatever that means, I don't really know. If you feel you want to partner in the shift, that's where you flag your hand. Put your hand up. I want to partner in the shift. It's not for me. Those are the words I just heard being breathed into my heart. I want to partner in the shift. Okay, now keep them up. If you're willing to count the cost, what that will look like, put your other hand up. Jesus, you see these hands. I'm closing my eyes. I don't even want to see. I want you to see. I don't want it to be about anyone doing something for performance. Lord, I want to partner in the shift. I'm willing to count the cost. Keep your hands up. I believe all heaven is watching. Hey. Can we be on our feet with our hands up, held up high? I want to partner in the ship. I'm willing to pay the price and count the cost. I give you my mind and my thoughts and my heart and my decisions. I want to see your glory, Lord. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory, Lord. It's about you. I want to see. Oh. Hey. Hey, more, Lord. Keep coming, Lord.
Awake, O north wind, awake, O south wind, blow over me. Come, O wind of testing, come, winds of earth.
I don't know if you understand what you're doing. I want to tell you what you're doing. I see in the spirit every single person in here is standing in front of an open doorway. Standing in front of an open doorway, and you are standing there saying, send the winds of testing, I won't be afraid. Do you understand what you're saying? And the reason I'm telling you this is because it's going to come. It's going to come. Because see, when I heard that verse, first thing I was like, whoa, God, I'm not so sure I want to sing this. Because I've heard of churches, I know of churches that got a little cocky in the spirit, and they would sing, oh, we're so good. And you know what? That church isn't even operating anymore. You know why? Because God will take you up on what you say. So you better mean it. And I see some people are just sitting, and some people are kind of, you know, checking their phones and everything else. And you know what? That's okay. But those of you that are singing this from your heart, you better remember where you are standing right now. You better remember what is coming out of your mouth, because God is hearing it and God is taking note. And you don't have to be afraid. But I mean, when I heard it, I said, God, whoa, I'm not so sure I want to do this. And God said to me, you have to be tested to grow. You have to be tested to grow. So I just want to give you a word admonition and a word of encouragement. People, you're going to be tested, but you will grow. God bless everyone here because you have entered into a new season. No question about it.
A sticking inside or just something that just rises up, not quite sure what to call it. It may be some fear that would keep you from jumping in and seeing exactly what God is saying and doing right now. Just come on up and we'll agree together as we continue to worship the Lord. Because He is very serious. He's smiling and serious at the same time because He's in control. We won't be afraid, Lord Jesus. We won't be afraid. We won't be afraid because in heaven there is no fear. Thank you, Jesus. We will press through. Thank you, Lord, for the great release from your heavenly throne. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your gentle, still, small voice that's really roaring like a lion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't be afraid, Jesus. Give you my depression. I won't be afraid. I will give you the very worries that I've held in my heart. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the kids? What about my parents? What about my spouse? I'm going to give you that, Lord. I'm going to give you my schedule, Lord. You're the pro in time management. I'm going to give you everything on the inside. I want you to rework and rewire me as I hold on to you. Because any testing that's from you, Lord Jesus, anything like that is purely for the sake of love. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're not angry at me, Lord. You're releasing your love over me right now to enable me, Lord, to keep that hand in the air, saying, I want to go with your ship. I'm counting the cost, because it's by your Spirit anyway. I can't make that happen. He hears that heart cry. Yes, Lord. I don't want to be cocky, Lord. I want to be your little child coming to you. Yes. Through it with you. It's a partnership. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shift of love. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thereby crucifying the flesh and all its desires. So, Lord, my spirit is willing today. We know there's another half to that, Lord. We know there's a flesh is weak part. That part is before our eyes day in and day out. It's what we experience, it's what we see. God, there's a greater reality. Our spirits are willing. Make us more willing. That understanding, let's just sing to him one last time. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, but have you.
Unleashing. It's just a beautiful reminder that we don't live in the past. And while we may have had experiences that may have marked us in many ways, the Lord's eye is on us. And he's saying, let me heal those times that were difficult because today is a new day. And I'm doing a new thing. And don't let the past rule you. Let the future be called into reality. Because the Lord's painting that beautiful picture in the sky. And he says, today is a new day. Today is a new day. Can we just say together, today is a new day for me. One more time. Today is a new day for me. In Jesus' name. Children are released to go to the kingdom class.
Some of the children are happy to go to class. Some are not so happy. Just think if adults could cry out like that when they weren't happy to come to class. Bunch of adults screaming on this side. The ones that want to be here over here on this side, all looking at them like, what are you doing? Father, you know what's been enlarged in my heart today by you, I believe. And I feel inadequate to express it today, Lord. So I'm asking Holy Spirit to come in to this place. Spring up in me, O living well. Spring up in me, O living water. Fill my mouth, Holy Spirit, as you said you would. These are the kings today that need to hear your word, Lord. I want to speak it. I don't want to speak my own. Help me, Father. I believe you're here to help me. I believe you're here to help each of us. You want us to hear. You really want us to hear. Thank you, Lord, that we can depend on Holy Spirit to open up our ears, open up our spirits as we cooperate. We choose to cooperate with your Spirit today. We won't resist. We'll resist the enemy's tactics of distraction, discouragement. We resist it. We stand against it. We submit to you, Father. We open up to you, Father. We say, come to us in a special way. We've been here before, but we're coming again. Help us not to lose heart in coming again before you, presenting ourselves to you, and asking you to come in. Lord, it's truly not about what we're going through, but it's where we're going to. Lord, today make that so true in our hearts. It's where we're going to. It's where we're going to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So do you want to leave changed today? Or do you want to leave the same today? It takes no effort to leave the same. None at all. All you have to do is sit there like a vegetable. You know, so choose your vegetable. Celery, asparagus. You know, choose a vegetable. Broccoli. And just sit there and you won't leave changed. You'll leave the same. But if you engage with Holy Spirit, if you open up and say, I will not submit to tiredness, I will not submit to feeling irritated. I won't submit to uncomfortableness in my seat. I won't submit to that pain in my body. I'm going to submit to you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to open up to you, Holy Spirit. I didn't even want to be here. Someone dragged me here. Don't submit to that. Enjoy that you were dragged. Enjoy it. There's a message that I often give overseas. You know, it's okay to have a message on your heart that you can give in season and out of season. How many know that? It is. It's okay. If you listen to some of the speakers, Christian speakers in our nation, many of them give the same message over and over again. Even Bill Johnson says all his messages are the same. They're about revival. They're all about revival. So he's giving the same message, just packaging it a little bit different all the time. And so oftentimes when I give the gospel overseas, I'll go to Luke 15 and talk about the lost sheep, the lost lamb, you know, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I preach it with vigor. How many have been overseas on the mission field? How many can attest I truly try to preach it with vigor? I have a much more intense voice than I'm using here this morning when I preach the gospel overseas. There's just something that rises up inside of me. And I like it. I love it. Ever since we first went to Jamaica, and it was our first drama site, and the drama actually went well in this crazy site in this market. We were in shock because we had never seen the drama presented out with the people. And it's the drama, the journey, and it's about 21 minutes, and I'm enjoying it and so on, but I'm going to be giving the gospel for the first time on a mission setting after a drama in our history. And I'm feeling like, I don't know what to say. What do I say? I know the basics of the gospel, but where do I start? But it all boils down to stepping into it, doesn't it? And just letting Holy Spirit come and fill your mouth. It's going to be truth if you're an open vessel. It's going to be life-changing truth. And so I stepped up there, and I was amazed at what came out of my mouth. I was absolutely shocked that I preached with such fire, having not done that in that type of setting before. I'd given the gospel to people, small groups, and so on. But I never remember having that much fire. And it's continued to this day. Everywhere we go, it just... Holy Spirit just inspires each of us, I think, that preach the gospel overseas. When we get this opportunity after a drama or after, you know, a musical presentation or whatever we do to kind of get the folks to flow in a little bit and minister to them, open up their hearts so the gospel comes in power. It just, everyone that steps up just seems to have to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say, but here it comes. And bam, the gospel is given out. And so often I'll talk about the lost coin and how the woman, she, you know, looks everywhere and she goes under the furniture and she's sweeping around the lost coin. And she finds it and she brings in her neighbors and she's jumping for joy because she has found this lost coin. And I share with the people, that's the love of Jesus. He's been looking for you. Have you been found? Or are you still going to be the lost coin? That God has to take his light and search for you because you just keep moving around the room. You won't let him get his light on you. You're here this morning because you want God's light on you. You want him to find you underneath that furniture and pull you out and do something new in your life today. I don't think one person here came with the idea, I'm not going to change. I think the enemy had that idea, and he might have planted it somewhere. But you, in your heart of hearts, you're here because you want to change. You don't want to be the same. You know there's things that need to be adjusted. And so it is with, you know, the sheep, that lamb that goes wandering out there. And he's willing to leave the 99 to go for the one. And that's you. You know, that's each person that we preach to overseas. That one. He's going for that one. He wants to find you. And where does he want to bring you? Back to safety. Back to the sheep pen. Put you in there. Keep you safe. Take care of you. Provide for your needs. All of that. I call that out and say, Lamb, you know, come in from the tall grass. Come away from the edge of the cliff. Get away from the wolf. And come in to the arms of Jesus, and he will put you on his neck and carry you back to safety. He'll carry you into salvation. That's fun to preach that, you know. And then the lost son, the prodigal son. You can go through that story of Jesus and learn something new every time. I don't know how many times that comes to mind with people. You know? With their situation and wanting them to come home to Father. Come home to His love. Come home to His embrace. Believe that He accepts you completely. That He can't wait. He's looking for you to come home. All three of those are about being found. All three of those are about coming home. And it's so fun to preach overseas that He wants to find you because you're lost. He's been looking for you. He knows your name. He knows He created you, so He knows everything about you, and He can't wait to embrace you with His arms. Some of us could use that this morning. That same message. Coming home to Father. Some of us kind of wander away a little bit. We go through a season where, well, I don't know if I really want to be connected in quite that much with radical people. I don't know if I really want to be connected in with a God that calls me to change, consistently calls me to adjust. And so we kind of run for the tall grass for a while, maybe hide out from God. What's the results of that? Well, let me read a few. Loneliness. Fatherlessness. Feel abandoned. We feel unloved. We feel depressed, despondent, fearful, suspicious, mistrustful. We start blaming. We're accusatory. We start complaining and criticizing. We become rebellious in our hearts. We are confused. We're uncertain. We're discouraged. Those are just a few, aren't they? Do they sound good to you? Don't sound so good to me. But when we run away from home, those are the kinds of things you run into, right? Children run away from home. They run away many times from the greatest love they could possibly have. Their parents love them, and they don't understand their parents. And the parents have a hard time understanding the child because they're thinking, we're providing everything we can provide for them. Why wouldn't they want to be here? We're providing love and security. We're providing chores. Why wouldn't they want to be here? Make your bed, take out the garbage. These are all things we need to build into their lives so they know how to be that good husband or wife. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to clean the floor. These are good things. Why would they run? Don't they know they need to be prepared for the future? How to handle their money, not blow it all on candy? No, this is a good thing. How to watch the proper shows so their eyeballs aren't burning. It's important. Why would they run from such love? You know, the parents that have one that has wandered away, they ask all those questions. Okay, I know I'm not perfect. They knew that day one when they were screaming and crying, and I didn't know whether it was their diaper or the other. You know, I was supposed to feed them at the other end. I don't know. I'm new at this. And they accepted me then. Why don't they accept me now? What's going on? Why are they a prodigal? Think of that a million times over. God that understands everything. A God that provides complete, unconditional love over and over again to us. And yet we tend to run. Our, you know, flee thing comes into our heart. Flee. Flee love. Flee. Run. Run away from home. Run away from home. And some of you are coming back from running away from home. You're changing. You're sharing. Friday night, we opened up a testimony time. I think it could have gone the whole 8 hours. I really did. Because it was rolling. And that was just one thing per person. I think some of them had many more than that. It's because they're coming home. When you're at home with the Father, you start to realize what a great place it is. You know, when the son came home and the father killed the fatted calf, and, you know, he wasn't going to let him live in the servant's quarters or act like a servant. He brought him right back in, gave him the robe, the ring, the shoes, the whole deal. It's like the inheritance started all over again. Well, Dad, I already blew it. No, you didn't. Guess what? You get a retake. It gets, the account gets filled back in again. That's what it's like to come home. And some of you are sharing that with your whole heart. I'm coming, I'm home. I'm back home. No matter what comes out of your mouth, it's the same message. I'm here, I'm home with Father again. I don't know why I ever left. We hear testimonies of sons renewing their relationship with their fathers and fathers with their sons. That's what it's like to come home. Daughters with moms and moms with daughters. That's what it's like to come home. Daughters with fathers and sons with mothers. And vice versa. And if I missed any of those, you know what I mean. All that renewing of relationships within family. Siblings with siblings. That's what it's like to come home. Oh, but I have a prodigal, and we're at odds. Call him home. Call him home. Come home. Come home. Father did it with us, and he did it with an unconditional love, and he's doing it consistently. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. And as you do, wow, testimony comes out of your mouth. People are getting healed. Deliverance is taking place right on the spot in some cases. We don't even have to have freedom class for the person. They start sharing their deliverance right in a message or, you know, right in a meeting. Boom! God is showing up. Why? You're coming home. Don't you want to be at home? See, you need a father. You need a home. And the home is a person. As always, it's the person of Jesus. The more we draw into him. People sometimes don't show up here because they think it's the same message all the time. Well, let me give you, you know, some peace of mind. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When could Father's love ever get old? When could the Father's love ever become old hat?
Never again.
I love this group up here. We're going to keep them. God is always calling us home. Every moment. You know, it's not a one-time event to run away from him. Sometimes we run it away from him moment by moment. And he's always calling us back, calling us closer, calling us home. That's his whole desire. You know, we have a home in heaven. It's a future presence where God's presence is and the saints dwell in perfect love. The Father wants to bring the reality of that here, now, right? We've learned that much. There are places that you can worship, all they think about is going to heaven. And glad I'm a Christian, because now I'm going to go to heaven. But we've learned, we want heaven to come to earth. We want his home to be here. So we're always after the Father's presence, here, now, in this time period. Not waiting to go to that future home entirely. Sure we are. We're excited about it. It's going to be perfect. But it's much cooler to do it when things are imperfect. To enjoy his home when things are imperfect. Don't you need comfort? Don't you need encouragement? Sure you do. We all do. We can't do that by waiting for that future home. It has to be here now, right this minute, because we're a needy people, but we're also a blessed and favored people. And we're learning as we go along to step into that blessing, step into that favor, and splash it around other people. Not just, oh, I'm going to enjoy that for myself. You know, soak and then go. Soak in His presence and then go splash it on the world. That's our commission. That's our mission here. And you're doing that. Various parts of Stark County have been blessed by you taking the glory of God out and splashing it on them. Whether it be First Friday, whether it be, you know, Heartland, whether it be Legends, whether it be Total Living Center, whether it be the Nations, whether it be the streets, whether it be your neighbors at work. We hear testimonies from all these different areas. You're splashing the love of God out to these places. So we're not so concerned about, let's see, how many do we have in worship service today? I'll, you know, count them up and go, oh my golly, there's some people missing. And what are we going to do about it? I'm thinking about how many people out there have been splashed on. And it's exciting because we get testimonies every week. That's what we're all about, right? Not counting up how many people are in these seats. We believe there's going to be more coming in. But we're not saying, please, bring them in. We're looking a little sparse. We're more concerned about reach out, taking it out to the streets. And so many of you are doing that. And so many in the last 2 years have stepped up and been stretched to do that in new ways. Some are playing the piano for the first time in public. Some are playing a drum, and they ask me permission. Can I go up on the stage? I'm just feeling this need. I got to play a drum. What am I supposed to say? No. Stop yourself. Cut your arm off. Of course. If we let the children drum, we'll let you drum. You're part of the children. Well, I don't have any rhythm. Don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit's got that. He's got that covered. And you can't mess up the rhythm around here. Because, you know, it kind of flows as it flows. I like that. I want some more of that. Here's my definition of home. A place where God's presence dwells and God's people are experiencing Father's love in unity. Oh, I like that. Even if I wrote it myself. Because it's so fun to be part of a place where somebody isn't trying to take over. Do you know how peaceful that is for leaders? I gave a couple messages a couple years ago, I think, on, you know, I don't know, it was on unity and keeping the unity and the brotherhood and father and mom and dad and all that. And, you know, some people were coming up saying, is someone trying to take over the church? Someone trying to take over the church because you're kind of drawing in the wagons, you know, making the circle and, you know, we're all one family, you know, let's get kind of get closer, let's draw in closer. No, it wasn't about that. It was about experiencing home, the peace of being at home, the peace of being family at home in His presence, being a family that doesn't have the typical problems of a family. Because we desire unity. We desire to bless one another. Do you know that you cannot equip the saints for the work of the ministry if you have jealousy of the saints that you're trying to equip? And so you wonder why there's divisions in churches and they split and all of that. Many times it's the leaders that are jealous of the people that are rising in their congregation and doing the very thing they've been preaching for them to do. I want you just to listen to God. And I want you to, you know, step into His giftings. And I want you just to go as high as you'll allow Him to take you in Holy Spirit. And when they do that, the leaders go, "Way, not that high. Come on now. You're getting a little too gifted here. You speak better than I speak. Your jokes are better than my jokes. Whoa, hold it back, hold it back." And I can't understand why some of the children in the house are a little bent out of shape. I don't get it. They told me to go for it. And when I did, they told me not to. I think I've told a story here before that one time I was at a church and I was leading worship every other week with another guy. And anytime he needed to, you know, needed to have me lead it and so on, I felt like, yeah, I'm going to jump right in there and help you. So I decided one Sunday I was going to do a special. I thought it went pretty well. I thought people were encouraged. And the Lord laid on my heart the next week to do a special. 2 weeks in a row. It's like, wow. So I did the special the second week. And the pastor came up to me and, you know, took me off to the side and said, "I don't want you to do that anymore." I said, "Do what?" "Do specials twice in a row like that." I listened. But it's never quite settled in my spirit that was the Spirit of God speaking. You know? There was something going on there. I didn't try to identify it or accuse or what's on my list here. Accuse, criticize, complain, you know, mistrust. I tried to get over that. But you do take note. Perfect.
We're related.
So you do take note of that. And you take note when leaders come up to you and say, when they're worshiping with you, and they say, "So you couldn't keep up this morning, huh?" Which was what another pastor told me one time. "You just couldn't keep up. I mean, I was going into the heavenlies and you just couldn't keep up." You take note. Because leaders can get jealous when people in the congregation with good hearts are rising up. There's a lot of concern on your faces right now. This ends well. Honestly, it does. But I don't see that here. Our leaders are trying to equip you so that you rise. And we're hoping you go beyond us. I've never been part of a group like this. You know, we have a real opportunity here. We have a real opportunity to act like the New Testament and beyond. To act like Jesus wanted us to act. We have that opportunity. We can blow it by, as was shared this morning, getting the big head and, "Oh, we're really cool, we're exclusive, and we're the only group that's ever done this." And but no, this is the way it's supposed to be, though. And I, you know, I want that for every congregation in Stark County. I don't want them all to come here. They have big buildings, they have really cool facilities, they have many teachers, they have many, you know, Christians that are sold out to the Lord. Why not just have a whole new revival right where they're at? That would be great. It takes, you know, listening to Holy Spirit. See, we had an opportunity to kind of do something fresh and do something new because we started at the foundation of this. This started in a home. A home that was something different. God started drawing people to this home. I don't remember calling up, you know, young people and saying, you know, we're going to have a Bible study every 2 weeks. You want to come? I don't remember making one phone call. But God drew people in to our home. And I took that as something very special because I chased down my people to try to train before, and it wasn't easy. Chasing them around, you know. Would you like to be trained? Would you like? Whoa, where'd you go? But God drew them in. It's like, whoa. This is special. And I took it as special from the very beginning. And I knew I had to change a lot. Because I needed to have the wherewithal to train people up. I'd had that desire all my life. But I knew this group that was coming in, I was going to have to step up. How many know what I'm saying? It's the same with you people. You keep me stepping up. You share something on a Friday night or on a Sunday morning. It challenges me to the max. I go home all week and try to figure out, Lord, I'm weak. Make me strong. Build me up. Take me higher because they're going. They're going somewhere. It's a new day. The saints are rising up. The saints are growing. The saints are winning their battles. Amen. They're changing. They're listening to you. Whoa! We're going somewhere with that kind of group of people. 19-year-olds are sharing like crazy. Whoa! This is going somewhere. They're getting dreams and visions and reaching out and healing. Whoa! This is a new day. Teenagers not afraid to speak to somebody about healing, to pray for them, to say, I know Jesus. Whoa, new day. If you look through the Old Testament, you'll notice one of the themes. Coming home. Joseph had to be delivered from prison and put in charge of Egypt so that the people could come from a place that was devastated to a place of abundance and plant themselves there so that Moses could take them back home to the promised land. God, over centuries, laid it down so that Moses would lead them to the promised land and Joshua would take it. He wanted a home for his people. And when they got there, he carried the tabernacle along, the presence of God, the home he wanted them to be part of, put it into a temple that was built, another home where the presence of God existed. He had this all planned for centuries. Of course. But it was about a home. Making the presence of God their home. And he would defeat armies and, you know, expand the territory of lands in order that there would be a place where his people could call home, where his presence was something that they would desire, where they would worship him. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into captivity, they had to make God their home in captivity. Some of you are facing huge challenges in your life. You may think this is the most challenging time you've ever faced, ever experienced. Make God your home in your captivity, in your time of feeling the pressure, the attacks of the enemy. Certainly, there's no choice, because that whole list will be part of your portion if you don't make God your home when you're in captivity, like Daniel did, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach. And they experienced, as I preached 2 weeks ago, they experienced God in the fiery furnace come and rescue them. They experienced God rescue them from the lion's den. That was their reward for experiencing home in captivity. God's presence was always with them, delivered them from impossible circumstances. That's your reward. He'll do that with you. Oh, but people despise me. People don't think I'm anything. Your reward to him. And as you follow him and make him your home rather than some apartment of your own that you're calling the home of God. In other words, you have to change enough to make an apartment into a home. Some of us are calling an apartment that we stay and kind of visit God our home. And it's not what he designed. It's not what he desired. And people are trying to tell you, you're living in an apartment. No, I'm living in a home. I'm close to God. Well, some things need to change. I don't see that quite in your life. This, you know, you say this and this comes across. You seem confused. You seem tormented. You're living in an apartment. You've not yet made God your home. They cry out to you. If you reject that, you won't experience Father and his love in a home. Those that do step into that, let's say you go to freedom class and, oh my gosh, God touches you. You experience him in new ways. You're having dreams, visions, words come to you. And you realize he really does love you, and you receive some deliverance. You're being refreshed in your heart. You're making God your home. The person that walks into freedom class and says, how do you teach this? I want to know so I can teach it to other people. Well, you might need some deliverance. You might need some healing in your heart first. No. I'm all right. There have been people that have actually said that. No. I'm okay. I just want to know how to teach it to other people. Might be a problem here. You know, every one of us needs freedom class.
Yeah.
A new level of freedom class?
Yes.
I already went through freedom class. Glad that's done. Woo! No, it's not. Never. The more freedom you receive, the more you feel God is your home. The more of Father's love you're going to have. All right. Sweet. Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem so the captive people can return home. Yeah, I think you're getting the word here. You're getting the word here. Jonah tries to run. He's returned
home
by a great fish to achieve his destiny. What was his destiny? To preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least the Old Testament form of that, to Nineveh. Now, I would take his results any day. I'd be excited and dancing in the streets with his results. Somehow he missed it. So you can physically be brought home, or you physically can be in the presence of God. It can be going on all around you, and yet you don't get the benefit of it. Isn't that true? Call me a liar, but I think the presence of God has come to this place with us, and we appreciate it. I don't go around saying, yeah, I produced that. Yeah, you know, I play that guitar, you know, and do that prophetic singing. And it just brings in the presence of God. Then I preach. And that really brings it in. Man, the people are really touched, I'm telling you. Sweet. I'm so tickled that he shows up here. I'm thrilled. Jonah couldn't even enjoy what God did through him. He's like bummed out under some kind of a plant that gave him shade. Picky guy. Jeez. He couldn't even enjoy what God had done through him because he wasn't home in his heart. He was still running in his heart, even though he wasn't on the ship headed for the farthest place away on earth. In his heart, he was still running. He was still a prodigal in his heart. And God used him to do tremendous things, and he never enjoyed it. You don't want to be in that place. I don't want to be in that place. I want to enjoy everything that God's doing through us. It's a blast. It's the most fun I'm having in my whole life. It's right now. Things are happening. God is moving. God is doing wonderful things in people all around the world. Through us? Yeah. Yeah. We're partnering with him. Of course, he's the senior partner, and we're the junior partner. Does it matter? If we got a pinky inside his pinky, he's doing amazing things. You put a hand in his, woo! Wait till you get that arm in Father God's arm. Oh, ho, ho! Then you jump into his arms. Wow! And then you get a big hug and a kiss. And he does the same to you. I mean, we're going to blast this world, aren't we? But if you start to get fearful, what if these people are just controlling me for their own good, for their own interests? What if they just want to use me up and spit me out? They're just trying to build their own name. Then you won't feel at home, will you? You'll kind of drift away a little at a time. And guess what you turn into? So many times. Tumbleweed. You know a tumbleweed. Kind of goes from this church. Really?
What was your first clue?
It just tumbleweed from one place to the other. They never put their roots down because they don't have any roots. Tumbleweeds don't have roots. How many knew that? Well, they have roots, but it's a different kind. There's issues with tumbleweeds. But they never put down the kind of roots where they can call a place home, where they can go through all the relational things it takes to stay in a family. Do you know that sometime or other, you're going to disagree with me? And then what do? Sometime or the other, I'm going to say something to you, you're going to just be like, no, not doing that. What do you do then? You run?
You should at least take it to Holy Spirit, I would ask you to do. Just take it to Holy Spirit. And if I know you disagree, I should take it to Holy Spirit. How many hear that? And we should see what Holy Spirit says. What if I'm wrong? Should I come to you and tell you? Mm-hmm. And if you're wrong, you probably should make it clear with me. Then we can stay family, can't we? And even if we both get from Holy Spirit, the other person is wrong, and we agree to disagree for a season until it becomes clear, at least we can stay in relationship. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. I mean, the ones that have been with us for a long, long time. And that's not to say that because you haven't been with us for a long, long time, you should have been. No, no. But those that have been with us for a period of time. Dare I trust this?
Yeah. Trust it.
Cool. You're not relatives. Well, you are, but
by the Spirit.
Different kind. They've had to go through a lot of different relational things with Mary Pat and myself. How many know that? Wouldn't you think that would be the case? They've had to see us at our weakest, at our most inadequate, not at our best, and still decide to be a part of this. We've had the same leadership since we established Frontline as an official ministry in 2000. Same leadership, I think. Might have added a person or two, but they haven't left us. We haven't left them. We haven't booted them out. They haven't booted, you know. They kind of know a lot of things about us. Maybe you'd like to know. You should ask them. And yet, they're willing to stay in relationship, stay in training, stay in leadership. And so often, they're in the background. You don't even probably know who the leaders of Frontline are, necessarily. We drag them up here about once every 5 years just to introduce them to the body. But they do a lot of things behind the scenes. And there's so many things to work out, especially when you're talking about overseas ministry and so on. Everybody has tons of responsibility. And only 3 people are paid. Wow. So, what is that about? I think it's about God established a home instead of a ministry alone. Established a place where we could all grow together. And maybe, you know, Mary Pat and I get to be mom and dad, but that just means we have a bigger target on us. It's a cool thing when it's a home. It's a thing that just tickles me pink. And I don't even like that color. No. Not for me, at least. We desire to train according to 2 Timothy 2:2. At the very beginning. And the things that which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Interesting juxtaposition there.
The things you've heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We've taught our leaders, trained our leaders, and they are teaching others also, and those people are teaching others. That's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it's supposed to work. Ephesians 4. Verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I declare today that this has been a success in this ministry. There's edifying going on. There's family going on. There's a home here for those that are part of that. There's a family here for those that want to be a part of that. We're not worried about new members of the family. We like that. Anyone can get as close as they want to get. Draw into the presence of God as much as you want. And we'll help you with adjustments, changes in thinking, in spirit changes, and things that need to happen in your life. We'll help you with that. Because we love it. We love to see it. And the enemy will try to take that off track in any way he possibly can. Well, yeah, they help others, but they don't help me. They love others, but they don't really care about me. Others who are talented or gifted, they spend time with them, but they won't spend time with me. The enemy will lie all he can to make sure that you never find a home. You never find a place where you can grow and be edified, and you can edify others, and you can use your giftings, and you can equip the saints. But the truth is, the saints are being equipped. And I love it. Over the last couple of years, how many new people have there been on the worship team? People that said in other places they were not welcome to be on the worship team. You don't just walk up there. There's a little bit of a process, but once we see your heart, we don't take you into a room and check out your voice. I said, once we hear your heart, we don't take you in a room and check out your voice. We think Holy Spirit is the best vocal teacher possible. Holy Spirit is the best keyboardist that he can possibly be. He knows how to play guitar better than anybody on earth. And he can empower anyone in a special way at any time he chooses. So why would we take people into a room and say, okay, play the guitar for me, let's see if you're ready. Now, if you think you can play the guitar and you're not sure you can, we might not let you up there for a while. But if you believe you can play the guitar, we'll probably give you an opportunity. You might not want the opportunity as soon as we're ready to give you the opportunity. Some of you have been shocked. We've walked up to you and said, why don't you go up and sing with the worship team? Always wanted to, but I don't think I can sing. I love that. I just love that. I love when Mary Pat makes speakers out of people. Could you come up and just share for us? Some people have the ducking strategy. They kind of see her looking around, and they, you know, suddenly act like they're praying. They open one eye to see if she's still looking in their direction. They add tongues. Because she has made speakers out of some of you people. Because we're about equipping the saints. It's always been our heart. Who gave us that heart? You think I came up with that? It's always been the Father's heart. He's looking for bozos like me. I said yes. Look what happened. It's just so cool. What if you said yes? And you have been. You never know what God will do. You'll start seeing people suddenly attracted to you. And you don't know why. Maybe it's that new deodorant I'm trying out. Put on some different aftershave today. No. Fragrance of Christ. Fragrance of Christ. Fragrance of Christ. Pastor Mary Pat and I do not think we're special. We know we are.
You guys are lovers of Jesus.
The thing is, it's convincing you that you're special. Once you realize that and you tell us, I think I'm special to the Lord. I think I'm favored by the Lord. You know, we don't sit there and go, well, let me think. Just a second. I'll let you know whether you are or not. No. We're like, they got it. They've got it. You can step into anything then, can't you? Because you're home. Once you realize you're special, you're a son, you're a daughter in the house, then anything can happen. It's under the household. Wherever you want to put, you know, the stakes of your household, how big you want to expand that tent and invite people in, it's going to be under the household. But you have to first become part of the household and really do that in heart, wherever God shows you that that is. Well, what if he changes it in the future? We'll cover that when you get there. But you don't slink out the door if it's God. Right? It's got to, yeah, God's sending me somewhere else. And you slink out the door. You never tell anybody. If it's God, you should be, you know, running out the door. But tell some of the family members. Tell them what God is doing in your heart. Open up. Share. If it's really God, they'll back you, don't you think? If they're a real family, if they really care about what God's best is for you, if they see how special you are to God, they'll back you if you're on to a new mission and so on. That's why we have no membership. We think that confuses things. You're already a member of the body of Christ. Okay, you're already in. You're part of the family. Why would we have a membership for Frontline? We're just a piece of the body of Christ. But it's awfully cool when you know you're supposed to be part of this expression of God's heart to the world. It's really cool when you know. And you're part of this local expression, this family. But we don't, you know, like,
have some kind of hex on people where we can hold them.
We're holding you. We're controlling you. You can't go anywhere.
You know, that would be horrible. So we desired to call the hearts of the children back to the fathers. You know, the last two verses of the Old Testament. Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Behold, the coming of the great and dreadful, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. God's heart is to take the children's hearts and get them attached to the fathers. Both their natural fathers, their heavenly father, and their spiritual mom and dad. Some people are a little afraid of that, a little scared about that. Oh, those things always go weird. That mom and dad in the spirit thing. They always kind of get weird. Got to watch that. Be cautious. Be cautious, eh? 1 Corinthians 4. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. And though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Those are the words of a father. What right would Paul have to come with a rod or a spirit of gentleness if he wasn't a father to those that he was training? He calls them beloved children. He's not just saying that, you know, as a nice little, you know, wingdingy. You're my beloved children. Oh, is that a cool phrase? I think I'll put it in the Bible. He meant that in a spiritual relationship with them. To be the child of a spiritual father or spiritual mother is one of the best things to bring you home. So many things can be solved in your life, especially, you know, the idea that I'm a lone ranger in the body of Christ. It's Jesus and me, and he takes me wherever I want to go, and I go wherever Jesus says. Really? What if he puts you under someone? That's a test, isn't it? Many teens have that problem, you know, with youth people in their life, youth directors, youth leaders, and so on, because they have that problem with their parents, right? How are they going to follow a youth leader if they despise their parents? It's going to be kind of hard. You know, it's the same spirit that rises up inside. I want to be my own person. I want to be my own spiritual guide. But when they submit to the Spirit of God, oftentimes they realize they have to solve that with their parents, whatever the problems are, whatever the needs are there, whatever the difficulties, in order for them to really move forward in the body of Christ and accept the leadership that's over them. Kind of important.
And we're hearing more and more testimonies from people. As they get closer to home, as they come to Jesus and realize his presence is so purifying and empowering in their life, they have such a desire to make it right with their parents. They just have that great desire within them. Because they're making their home with their heavenly parent. It just feels right to make home again with the earthly parents. It just gets rejuvenated, the whole relationship. So when he says he wants to return the children's hearts to the fathers and the fathers to the children, he's all about changing all those relationships around. Why? I just don't seem to progress any farther than this. Check and see how your relationships are doing with those that have been authorities in your life or are authorities in your life. If you don't have a good relationship with the mom and dad in the house, whichever house it is, it's going to be a rough go of it for you. You have to truly come home. So we desired to call the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children. We desired to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We desired a oneness of unity with the Godhead and with God's presence and with other believers. John 17, which is one of the passages that Pastor Mary Pat goes to often. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. So often in the body of Christ we hear unity, 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 unity. But they choose who they're going to unify with. Very carefully. If you're someone that they don't think should be part of that unity, they don't give you a call for the pastor's meetings. You're not on the list. You might even call and say, could I be on the list? And they still don't call you. So to truly be one, Jesus' desire, that has to be worked at. He's given it to us as a gift. The Bible says that he's given unity to us as a gift, but we have to maintain it. That takes work. That takes a lot. So we're part of several organizations outside of Frontline to try to, unify with other parts of the body of Christ. Because of that, we think that's important. He thinks that's important. Verses 20 through 26. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared it to them, your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. All of that to say, what must it be like to be one with the Trinity? That's what he's calling us to. A oneness with the Trinity. To have that kind of intimacy. He could have said, we're the Trinity. You'll never reach it. You'll never even get close. So we're the Trinity and you're the body of Christ.
but, you know, never the two shall meet. But he calls us into a oneness, a unity with the Trinity.
Oh, man!
What kind of intimacy must it take to be one with the Trinity?
Wow.
You know what? When you're being touched by the Spirit of God in a service or home alone or wherever you are, some of you in the car, oh, help us, Lord. You're experiencing that intimacy with the Trinity. You know, when it says three in one, you get 3-4-1. If you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that means automatically you have intimacy with Jesus and God, your Father. It's a 3-for-1 thing. When you're feeling touched by the Father's love, you're being touched by Holy Spirit and Jesus all at the same time. That intimacy is ours as we come home. It's reality. It becomes reality for us. That's why some of you are running up here to testify. We lift up a microphone, we don't even need to say anymore, does anyone have something to share? People are practically running up and swallowing the microphone. They're so excited about what God is doing in their hearts. That's a good thing. Some of you thought you couldn't speak on a microphone. Ha, ha, ha! Fooled you. Jehovah's sneaky. Catching up with you. And so you are experiencing that intimacy the more you step in. And what do you think the encouragement's going to be? Come home. Come home some more. Get a little bit closer so that depression flees, that discouragement ends. It is possible not to have a cloud right here over your life all the time. That's what you want. You don't want that cloud to stay there and try to live under that. You want that cloud to go. And it can. As you come home, come on home. Well, I don't, you know, necessarily want to do everything you guys do. You're kind of glorified Amish, really.
You know, you talk to Spirit, but I know there's some unsaid rules around here. You know.
Well, maybe I develop your own list because I don't have one. The list starts and stops with, why don't you ask Holy Spirit what he thinks about this? Become intimate with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father and Jesus all at the same time, and see what the committee has to say to you about it, you one with the Trinity person. You want to be one with the Trinity? Ask them what they think about whatever. You know, we don't list the rules on the wall. We kind of glorify God on our walls. We don't, you know, put the rules in a special booklet and pass it out to people. Let them read the rules. We think it's much more effective to ask you to ask Holy Spirit. It's rather insidious. It's worked so well for years. Go on a mission trip, don't give anybody any rules. They have to figure them out. They have to follow what the leaders do. Ha ha ha, caught ya. And we've had, you know, little rebellions along the way. People that, you know, what do you mean a guy has to wear a t-shirt to go swimming? Who made up that rule? Well, we just thought it'd be a good idea. What do you think? Ask Holy Spirit. See what he thinks. Oh, I know. Ask your missionary host. See what he thinks. That'd be a great idea or not. Don't even have to ask us. Sounds stupid. You know, we desire that there'd be a special oneness in marriage, a special oneness in families, and other relationships that you have. We're not mad at your boss like you are. We think he's a wonderful person because he's helping you become more like Jesus. He was probably placed there specifically by Jesus to help you be like Jesus. I had some principles like that. I knew they were there to help me be more like Jesus. But I also knew that at times, Jesus would circumvent them. Since he placed them there, he can circumvent them. Just like Pharaoh was circumvented a couple different times. Nebuchadnezzar was circumvented. Other leaders, they're circumvented whenever Jesus decides. So that hard boss you have that won't let you go on the mission trip, or that hard person, so often circumvents it. That schedule that can't be changed, so often it's changed. Those regulations that can't be changed. You're favored. God doesn't really care what the other workers think when you're favored. He doesn't really care that they don't get time off and you do, because they're not sons or daughters of the Most High. You are. He loves to circumvent. But you may get some repercussions from that at times. Because if you're favored, Daniel got repercussions for being favored. Joseph got repercussions for being favored. Many of them. Why do you get to be special and I don't get to be special? Well, I'm son of the Most High. I'm a daughter of the Most High. What? That's weird. You ought to try it. Gets me 2 weeks off in the summertime. 3 weeks off. Oh, 3.5 weeks off. To go do missions around the world.
Gee, I only get 2 weeks.
Maybe you ought to follow Jesus. The Jews were scattered across the earth. How many know that? They still are in many places. But he's calling them where? Home. I think the two terms are, I probably have this, I never tried saying this word, diaspora or diaspora. That's the scattering. And then we learned Friday night that Eliah is the gathering. He's bringing them back to the land of Israel. 1,300,000 people have been called out of Russia in the last 30 years. And they are in the land of Israel right now. Apparently Russian is the second language in the land of Israel because of that. Second most used language. Wow. That's a calling back. That's right out of their place where they got used to things. Learned the language and everything. He's calling them where? Home. You think he'll do anything any different with us? He wants to call us a little bit closer.
Yes.
If you're at the banqueting table, often the Lord will put this on my heart in worship. If you're at the banqueting table and you take, you know, Jesus tells you to take this seat where you're not in prominence, right? When you go to a banquet, he says, don't take, you know, the seat right next to the host. In case the host says, oh, you're not supposed to be seated here. You need to go farther down the table because this place was reserved for Joe Schmo. He's supposed to be here, not you. Go down the table farther. You read that in the New Testament? He doesn't use Joe Schmo. But it's in there. You're not supposed to take that place of prominence, of favor. Just take it. But guess what? Father's constantly calling you to come a little closer. He can put Joe Schmo and you in the same seat. He can stack you up as far as it goes. But you have to be willing to come a little closer. He can just stack you all up right next to him so he can hug every one of you. He doesn't have any seats down at the end of the table. They're all right next to him. And you're invited. You're invited home. Will you come? Will you come a little closer? It's time for no more excuses, isn't it?
That's right.
The Old Testament, he called the people, return to me. Return to me, several places. Return to me. You know, anything that we do here, Freedom Class, Frontline Training Center, Imparty, all those things, we're really just calling you home into a closer relationship and a more trained relationship so that you can touch people's lives more and you can relate to the body in such a way that it'll be edifying to people in the body. We don't want any marriages breaking apart in Frontline. Someone asked me the other day, so, you ever done a funeral? I said, no one's died. What? No one's died. Done a couple funerals overseas. Haven't done any here in the States. At least, you know, of people directly here in this house. There have been some relatives of the people in this house where other ministers have taken care of that. But no one's asked us to do a funeral. Isn't that amazing? Amazing to me. Never been asked to do a funeral in the States yet. I wonder if you'll continue to do that. Who knows? But he wants to use everything that we do to draw us into a closer relationship with him. That's why we talk about it all the time. Come into his presence. Come to his presence. Oh, let's enjoy his presence. Oh, you know, get as much as you can from his presence, his presence, his presence. Why do they talk about anything else? His presence can't get old. You're going to spend many more years in his presence when you get to the final home. Is that going to be boring? Is there going to be something boring about that? With your brothers and sisters, the saints, 24/7, and Jesus, 24/7. Is that going to be boring? Church continually, I guess. Somehow it's going to be so exhilarating that we won't be able to even, you know, stand it. It'll just be, man, be amazing. Like ice cream in a Maserati going 700 miles an hour. I don't know. You know, who knows? Just going to be really cool. And those of you that know Jesus are all going to be there. So, you know, you look at that person across, I'm sure they're way across, across Frontline, you go, gee, I don't know them very well. You know, you're going to spend a long time with them. It might be a good idea to kind of get to know them a little bit. I thank the Father for the family that we have here. And I don't want it to stop expanding, but I want it to keep its intimacy. You know, person to person, I want it to grow with intimacy, person to person. We want to ask you the hard questions. How you doing? And you say, fine. And we say, well, no, how you really doing? And you say, fine again. You're going to get the third question. How you really doing? I've got a testimony. Okay. Or, you know, I'm struggling. Either way, the arms go out, whether physically or in the spirit, to embrace you and draw you into more of the Father. So, you know, some of you Pastor Mary Pat asks you how you're doing, you say, fine. She asks the second and third and fourth question. When you finally open up and say how you're really doing, is it any wonder why she spends 4 hours with you then? Someone came over the other day. They were going to go golfing with Tom and myself. I think they had a plan for that somewhere in the mix. They ended up spending 7 hours with Pastor Mary Pat. They hit a hole in one right there. Well, not so much that they were with Pastor Mary Pat. It was what happened to them. It's cool. If it takes 5 minutes, I'm your guy. If it takes 7 hours, it's Pastor Mary Pat. That's why I do a lot of my ministry at restaurants and golf courses. Driving in the cart, you know, what club are you going to use? Well, I think I'll use a 7-iron. Great, how's your life going? Really good. Well, I got this one problem. Talk about it in 5 minutes. Go up, hit the golf ball. See what the Lord will do. Acceleration. Pastor Mary Pat, tell her the same thing 3 hours later. Does it matter? No. God's going to get to you what you need. If you want it. How badly do you want it? Do you want to be home? Do you want to stay at home? Do you want to enjoy all the furniture and all the rooms? Sure you do. That's why you're here. Otherwise you'd be running off someplace else like a tumbleweed. Yeah, you would. This place would be too scary for you. How many people have we come up here and they get the testimony? I thought this was a weird place, I must tell you. When I went to retreat, it was a really weird place. But somehow I got past that and came the second time. And now I'm changed. I mean, those are the coolest testimonies that could possibly happen. Father's drawing you home, and it's weird. It's too crazy. It's different than what I thought it would be. Yeah? What do you think happened to all of us? Same thing. First time somebody hit the floor. What's that all about? You think we were just like, you know, we grew up and we were like, oh yeah, that's normal. People flying backwards and banging into the falling and bumping their heads. And I mean, we've had people fall out, hang on to Pastor Mary Pat, take her back with them. And her head is bumped on a speaker. And everybody goes, oh, and there's blood coming out. Oh, and I take her home, you know, kind of put her in a car and take her home and lay her on the bed. And before she goes to sleep, it's healed.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you love it? What's there to be shook up about? We've had people go out in the spirit and actually fall on instruments. And I brought the instrument Friday night. It's completely resurrected. It's been healed. I'm playing it again. It's been restored to its former glory. Looks great. I'm enjoying it again. Isn't that fun? That's what he wants to do with all of our lives as we draw into him. He just wants to take all those places we think can't be healed up and heal them up. Any cloud over our head, take it away. So that we can be used for the kingdom's sake. And as the message not long ago, are you building the kingdom or are you tearing it down?
Building it.
Of course, we want to build it. We shouldn't be going around with our heads down, though.
Yeah, I want to build a kingdom. I just don't seem to know.
No, we should be rejoicing. We don't know what we're doing! Isn't this great? This is perfect! Now God can show up. If we knew what we were doing, I bet he wouldn't show up. Never showed up with the Pharisees, other than to challenge them. They knew what they were doing. They had the robes to prove it. All the rules. Had it all set. They had the system. They went nowhere. But somebody just shows up. They don't know what they're doing. I'm a tax collector. I'll follow you though, Jesus. Zacchaeus. Don't call him a wee little guy. Ever. I'm convinced he was my height. Climbed down from a tree, took Jesus to dinner. Where? In his home. And Jesus made himself Zacchaeus' home. That guy started going to the safe and passing out money. Money didn't mean anything to him. He had made Jesus his home. His intimate relationship with Jesus was the sweetest thing in his life. You have things in your life, you just, you know, I'd like this and I'd like that, and gosh, this isn't the way it should be, and it's been years, and oh, Jesus is my home. I can be at rest in uncertainty. I can be at rest in confusion, and he can sort it all out. I can be at rest in complete need, and he will sort it out. He'll take care of it. So, Father, I pray that for each person here today, that you would be their home, you would be their rest, you would be their security. They would draw into you more than they have ever drawn into you, that this would not just be a new season for this body, a new season for the church at large, the body of Christ at large, but this would be a new season for each individual person in here. They would experience you in new ways. They would draw close to you in new ways. They would have issues solved in new ways. They would see the creativity of a limitless Trinity that wants to be one with them. And Lord, you would show them just how much you've empowered them and help them step into it. Give them faith, Lord. Give them power, Lord. Give them a sound mind. Take away all the negativity, Father, all the negative emotions, and help them enjoy the furniture in the household. Help them enjoy mom and dad in every way. Physical parents, enjoy their Father in heaven. Enjoy their spiritual parents, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All we can do is thank you. You're the one that knows what you're doing. We're your children, and you're helping us figure it out. Thank you for bringing us home in a new way today, God. Show us this week what it means. Show us this week what it means that we will have testimonies on our hearts. I'm home. I get it. I actually feel special. I get it. I know he's touching me. I know he's blessing me. I know he's favoring me. And it's splashing on coworkers. It's splashing on fellow students. It's splashing on relatives. It's splashing on strangers. It's splashing on enemies. Yes, Lord, do it in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord. As we always offer, if you need prayer of any kind, we're here. We don't run out of the building.
Next weekend retreat service is in the evening at 6:30. So if you show up next week at 10 or 10:30.
Yeah, if you invite anyone, don't invite them to our 10 o'clock, 10:30 service next week. We always meet on Sunday night during retreat weekend because we're still at the retreat grounds ministering and enjoying the family there. If any time you want to visit retreat, see what's happening, you're more than welcome to visit and come. It's basically geared to youth, And youth is kind of broad around here, so that's fine. But if you want to come and visit, you can do that. If not, you can show up next Sunday night, 6:30 is our main service next week.